Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Senator Kamala Harris, as we've been saying all week, is the third woman and first Black and South Asian woman to be nominated for vice president on a major party ticket. And her candidacy has sparked many debates about her dual racial identities, complicated by the social and legal principle in this country that any person with even one Black ancestor is considered Black. To delve deeper into this, we're joined now by Crystal Fleming, professor of sociology and Africana studies at SUNY Stony Brook and author of How to Be Less Stupid About Race. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Crystal, some would actually argue that in this country, the Black-white binary has stifled our understanding of race. And this is playing out in real time through all of this chatter on social media and the commentary we're hearing about Kamala Harris, people declaring Kamala is Black. Period. Followed by, well, we can't really ignore that she's also South Asian. How does Senator Harris unsettle this binary?
Well, first, I think you're definitely right that the Black-white binary creates a lot of misconceptions, misunderstandings, but also the idea of race itself is inherently problematic, nonsensical, because it's a made-up idea that was basically and is still part of racism and a system of power. So with Kamala, you know, I think in the United States, when people view her physically, it's not always apparent to people that she is also of Asian heritage. So race has a lot to do with how people view you, how they categorize you. And so people looking at her might not always know that she's also a South Asian and could impute upon her an African-American identity, even though in this country, African-American tends to mean of U.S. slave ancestry. But that also gets a little complicated because we have people who are mixed, who are, in Kamala's case, South Asian and Black, but of Caribbean origin, and not having a direct connection to U.S. slave ancestry in this country. So there are ways in which people's appearance and the ideas and misconceptions that we have about ancestry contribute to debate or disagreement over what exactly she represents and who she represents.
Yes, and Kamala Harris has actually said that her mother, who is South Asian, made a point to let her daughters know and throughout their childhood that they were Black because of that appearance, because she knew that society would view them that way. How does the one-drop rule come into play here, which essentially erases all other ancestry? During slavery, it was a way of asserting white supremacy, as we know. Today, there are no laws in place over this, but we still hold on to this idea. It's the assertion that's really been flipped by Black Americans that it's very important to distinguish that Harris is Black. Your thoughts on this?
Well, the one-drop rule is also known as the rule of hypodescent. And it's exactly what you've described, this idea that it's already even saying it sounds like nonsense. One drop of Black blood, like what even is that, right? But one drop of Black blood means you're Black. One of the most important things to understand about this one drop rule is that the United States is an outlier with regard to the ways in which we think about being of recent African descent. In the Caribbean and basically everywhere besides the United States, so throughout Latin America, throughout much of the world, there's a lot more recognition of intermediate categories between Black and white and of different kinds of mixtures, different kinds of terms and categories that are used to refer to people beyond the Black and white binary. But yes, in the United States, being viewed as phenotypically Black, so your appearance connoting because of your skin tone or your hair features that you are African-American or of recent African ancestry, no matter what else you are, that has been part of our system of white supremacy and anti-Blackness. But white supremacy manifests differently in different societies. But that has been and still is a core part of our system.
Yeah, what you're saying makes me think of something that Langston Hughes wrote about, where he actually said it's only in America that he was seen as black. In other parts of the world, they were mm-hmm. able to, even back in the 1900s, to mm-hmm. see him as a brown man. What do you think, though, is driving the emotional reaction to the questioning of Harris's identity, specifically from black and South Asian people?
Well, I think there are many things. I think there's a real desire amongst many people to feel represented and to feel represented at the seat of power. And I think certainly people who are South Asian want that aspect of her identity to be recognized, although I have read, you know, some South Asian writers and observers point out that there's a lot of anti-blackness within Asian mm-hmm. communities, including South Asian communities. And so there's some irony in these desires to recognize that aspect of her identity. But I do think that that is also genuine amongst many people, that they want their identities to be represented. But I think also there's emotion on the part of some Black people and African Americans, and these categories overlap and diverge in different ways, but sort of about what it means to be Black in 2020, given everything that we're going through with the recent resurgence of Black Lives Matter protests. And I will speak for myself in saying that I have noticed that in these recent years, to the extent that there has been a Black person on a national ticket, whether it's Barack Obama or now Kamala Harris, I think it is interesting that it has had to be someone who was mixed and biracial. And I think, you know, it's questionable whether even in 2020 or 4 years from now or 8 years from now, would it be possible for a Black person to be on the national ticket in this country without also having a biracial identity? I don't know. But I think, you know, we're also getting to a point in our society where there's more and more recognition of the multiplicity of identities and communities that we have. So Naomi Osaka is someone who has risen to prominence in recent years, right? And this is a Black and Asian woman. And I think we have to acknowledge that there are far more interconnections between our communities than we typically recognize. Although traditionally our racial and ethnic discourse has been so simplistic and so reduced to the Black-white binary, you know, human diversity is incredibly complex.
And there's more diversity, this diversity that you speak of here in the United States. I mean, there are more mixed race people than ever before. I've actually seen young people, Generation Y specifically, mm-hmm. that's after millennials, who actually don't see or understand these binary racial mm-hmm. rules in this country. Do you see a change, a deeper evolution of understanding? Or do you think we still have a ways to go in being able to acknowledge multiple identities when Blackness is asserted into the conversation? I'm thinking this might be less of a case when we're talking about whiteness and another race and how that comes into play.
I think it's very complicated. And the complicated thing is that sometimes there is an emphasis on mixture for people who identify as biracial or multiracial that is problematic, frankly, because it also relies on the notion that there are mixed people and then there are people who are not mixed, as though, mm-hmm. you know, monoracial identity or monoracial
yes, right.
or monoethnic heritage actually exists, right? So when I talk
yes.
about human diversity, I'm not just talking about people who identify as biracial or multiracial or who have parents who have different identities. You know, we go back far enough, we see that our ancestries are intertwined. And so it's very important to, you know, when I talk about like racial stupidity in my book and in my work, it's really important to, you know, kind of problematize these conceptions of race and ethnicity that perpetuate the myth that there's racial purity among some people and racial mixture amongst others, that it's not true. And that's mm-hmm. also an idea of racial purity is also part of the system and ideology of racism.
That's Crystal Fleming, professor of sociology and Africana studies at SUNY Stony Brook and author of How to Be Less Stupid About Race. Crystal Fleming, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me.